revival has not come, and we wonder just what tomorrow holds. Will our children know the freedom that you and I have known, or will sin in our country take its toll? It's not because God left us. You glad he's God and he has not changed. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get the show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again, K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program. Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel, the Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. With great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you are here. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, and little old me.
Okay, little old you, huh? Okay, well, Sister Emily, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, and Sister Ruth said little old her. Yeah, she getting old, ain't she?
Yep, that's it. But I'm not too sure about the little part, but the old part, definitely.
I meant little as far as I should be humble in comparison to not having too much pride.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm 62, so I'm not young.
Yeah, but we, on the other hand, though, the other part about being little, I don't think you're little.
I think you're going to get in hot water over there, Ken, if you don't quit.
Yeah, well, we're just trying to let the listeners know the truth. The Bible says we shouldn't bear false witness against our neighbor, so I'm just trying to tell the truth. She's not little.
Okay, so we're going to talk about our weight size. Actually, a lot of people I know are a little bit on the heavy side, but I'm working on losing it.
Okay. So, well, we just want you to be able to tell the truth to our listeners, Ruth. You're not little. All right. But anyway, all right, Em, so.
I got a couple of prayer requests for the listeners tonight. Basically, continue to keep the housing situation in prayer. Also, be praying for all our first responders and nursing home workers.
Okay. And we'll definitely remember to do that. And, Em, tonight, are you ready for a good show?
Huh?
So are you ready for a good show tonight?
Yeah, and also for Dad and Aunt Heidi, too.
Okay. Well, tonight, let me give you a quick outline of where we're going tonight. We are going into, of course, we've been talking about alcohol and drinking, and tonight we're going to be continuing our part under that heading of the where God says he shows allowance for drinking. The actual scriptures that actually do show allowance for drinking, where God did not have a problem with people drinking. And this is part two tonight. And then after that, in the middle of that, we find Six doing the song and poem. Does he continue his good buzzer? Or does he finally slip and get the bad buzzer tonight? If so, of course, there may be sound effects used if he gets the bad buzzer that may affect those who have PTSD and other disorders, so just be watchful of that. And then after we get done with the alcohol and drinking, and then when Ruth's turn comes up for Bible prophecy, Ruth wouldn't tell us where we're going tonight?
We're going to do the still small voice, and you're both cuter. But that's just a statement. You're both cuter.
Okay. Well, on radio, people can't see us, so they'll just have to live with that. Okay? But the still small voice, now we're going to find out who that still small voice was, who it came from, and that kind of interesting stuff. So you'll want to stick around to find out about the still small voice. And then after that, of course, we open up the mics for our question of the day. And as I've always said,
It's all opinion-based. There's neither right nor wrong answer. It's all based upon your own opinion for you, the listeners, because you do matter. And then after that, we close with a word of prayer and finally close out with a Red Soul Vine song. So, all right, if you got any further comments in, then we're going to get started.
I only had one other comment, and that was to Sister Ruth. God don't make junk.
No, he may not.
That's what I said. You're both kidding.
He may not make junk, but Oscar still wants company, so I got to go visit him.
Kenny, you better cut that out, or I'll find a way over there.
We love each other. That's all. We're just having fun here.
Yeah, well, I got to go visit Oscar. I got to take your answer back to the question he had of the day last Christmas.
Why don't
you guys
you,
have an answer to this question?
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
Why don't you remind the listeners what Oscar wanted to know last Christmas?
Yeah, and since nobody seemed to answer that, he still wants to know how a guy who's built like a dump truck like Santa Claus gets his fat belly down all those getting little chimneys. You guys got to figure that out by this Christmas. So you'll have to figure that one out, Em.
You will, too.
So, all right. Well, if you're ready, let's get started into our program tonight.
Yeah, you need to lose lots of weight.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. So get out your pad, pencil, braille writer. Quick note, whatever you may take your notes with. And here we go tonight. Amen.
For those of you who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you think it's okay to use whiskey or strong drink, etc., for colds, etc.? Do you think it's okay to use whiskey or strong drink, etc., etc.? But now we want to get into our topic of alcohol and drinking, and specifically allowance for drinking in the Bible, allowance for drinking. This is part two, and our first scripture context is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verses 24 to 31. 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 24 to 31. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Joab, the son of Zeruiah, began to number, but he finished not, because there fell wrath for it against Israel. Neither was the number put in the account of the chronicles of King David. And over the king's treasures was Asbabai, the son of Adiel, and over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah, and over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Chelub, and over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite, over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shipmite, and over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal Haman, the Gederite, and over the cellars of oil was Joash, and over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite, and over the herds that were in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adli. Over the camels also was Abil, the Ishmaelite, and over the asses was Tadiah, the Marathite. And over the flocks was Jaziz, the Hagarite. All these were the rulers of the substance, which was King David's.
And after that reading, with all those strange names, Ruthie'd like to have a little shot of wine or whiskey for that. Amen. Amen. But We're talking about allowance for drinking, so she might want a little bit after that tough stuff. Amen. But we find here that there was a man over the wine cellars, as it says in this scripture. Amen. Well, Ruth, if you want a little shot, you'll have to take it up with him, because he had his place was the charge of the wine cellars for the King David, so you'll have to talk to him about that and make sure it's okay with King David. Amen. All right, and then our next scripture context is found in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Xerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time.
Now you see here, this king, he was drinking, but he did not get drunk. So, once again, we find an allowance for this king drinking, and there was no problem. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 7 to 18. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 7 to 18. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and of the corn, the wine, and the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them, so will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests, and took an oath of them, that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and empty. But all the congregation said amen and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 32nd year of Xerxes the king, that is, 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable, unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered to thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now, that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also, fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days' store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people.
Now you see here, in this text, we find that the previous governors exacted or basically required a fee to be on the governor's seat. But Nehemiah said, no, I'm not doing that. Even though he was basically provided for. He was provided for and never charged anybody, but yet he still ended up with wine, the oxen, etc., that he was fed, etc., and yet he never charged anybody. But yet, as we can see, he, Nehemiah, a prophet, drank wine. Didn't say he got drunk, but he did drink wine. Amen. Now, our next scripture context is found in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 to 19. Nehemiah 13, verses 15 to 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
In those days saw I and Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre, also therein, which brought fish, and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark, before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day.
And here we find Nehemiah finding a problem. He saw the people were buying and selling on the Sabbath day, and he said, we're not doing that no more. So he stopped it. And one of the things sold on the Sabbath, wine. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Esther chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Esther chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take a thing.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 days, and when those days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present at Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court, of the garden of the king's palace, which were white green and blue, hangings fastened with cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Muaman, Bishtha, Harbuna, Bigtha, and Abgatha, Zether, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to shew the people and the princes her beauty, for that she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him.
Well, Ahasuerus got drunk here, and I think he should have shared some of it, not got so drunk, shared a little bit with Ruthie when she had to do these names. Amen. But he got drunk, but yet there was others there. It said they only drank to their pleasure, meaning some did not get drunk. They only drank, and that was it. But Ahasuerus got so drunk, he thought that he didn't have a wife. He thought he had a puppy dog. Oh, come, Vashti, come. Oh, oh. I mean, that's what he thought he had, and she said, I'm not coming. I'm not coming. You want to call me like a puppy dog, whoa, but I'm not coming. Vashti said, you may treat me like a dog, but I'm not coming. Amen. All right, and our last scripture context before 6 sees if he can continue on his role of the good buzzer is found in Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. It was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, and it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said.
Now, those of you who have read the book of Esther know that this is when Esther had already told the Jewish people to be fasting so that she could go in before the king, because she knew that she was taking her life in her own hands. And so she now asks the king and Haman, boo hiss, to come in to this banquet of wine that she had. But you notice in this banquet of wine, they did not get drunk on this day. No one got drunk. They just drank wine. All right. Well, now it's time to turn the mic over to Brother Six and see if he can answer the common message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
From earth, it's time again for another birth, said the angels to the Lord above. This special child will need much love. His progress may be very slow, accomplishment he may not show, and he'll require extra care from the folks he meets down there. He may not run or laugh or play, his thoughts may seem quite far away. In many ways, he won't adapt, and he'll be known as handicapped. So let's be careful where he's sent. We want his life to be content. Please, Lord, find the parents who will do a special job for you. They will not realize right away the leading role they're asked to play. But with this child sent from above, come stronger faith and richer love. And soon they'll know the privilege give in caring for their gift from heaven. Their precious charge, so meek and mild, is heaven's very special child.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
All right, this is a tough one. Don't point a finger, lend a hand. I got that part. So basically, you can talk about somebody all day. That's the easy thing to do. But the hardest thing to do is to help them. As far as the individual with the disability, and I think the individual is still living, so take care of that individual without judgment. So I think the common denominator is judge, be judged not. Denominator between the two is judge, be judged not, lend a hand.
Well, Six, you're on a roll. Once again, you got the right one again. That's exactly it. Judge not lest you be judged because, hey, heaven's very special child. You don't want to judge them because of their inconvenience. Amen.
All right. Yeah, it's so easy to point the finger, you know, but it takes a big person to lend a helping hand and without judgment. So let's everybody remember that. Do not judge. Help. be about solutions. Amen.
And with that, we're going to not judge as we hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. We're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you think it's okay to use alcohol or strong drink for colds, etc.? Do you think it's okay to use alcohol or strong drink for colds, etc.? Amen. All right. In our next scripture context, as we get ready to go back into our topic of alcohol and drinking, specifically the allowance for drinking, part two, and this is our next scripture context, which is found in Esther chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Esther chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther, on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the queen, king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said unto before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. And the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified.
And here we find old wicked Haman and the king at the banquet of wine the second night. And what do we find? She finally gives her petition, her request for her and her life and her people's lives. And she exposes Haman, Boo Hiss, the dirty, rotten buzzard. And then when the king goes out of the room for a little while, Haman tries to force himself upon the queen, Esther. And when the king comes back in, he sees it and then puts his own life at risk and ends up on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Yay, good. That's what he deserved. Amen. All right, our next scripture is found in Job chapter 1, verses 1. Job chapter 1, verses 4 to 22. Job chapter 1, verses 4 to 22. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and a upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth God fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Now, as you can see here, the children of Job, the brothers and the sisters, they were eating and drinking wine, but in both areas of this text. It never said they got drunk, but Job, he said, now maybe, just maybe, they may have sinned and cursed God in their heart or whatever. I want to give an offering for them. But it did not say anywhere that they got drunk. Not one word about it. It did say they drank, but it didn't say they got drunk. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Job 32, verses 17 to 20. Job 32, verses 17 to 20. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
I said, I will answer also my part. I also will shew mine opinion. For I am full of what matter, the spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer.
Now here we find not the one of the three original friends, so-called friends of Job, but the fourth man who shows up. And he had been listening this whole time. And now finally he decides to open his mouth and he says, look, just like new wine in bottles that have no vent, pressure builds up, and finally, it either has to be uncorked or it's just going to explode, is basically what it's saying. So that's what he was saying here. I have to speak because I can't hold my peace. So that's what he was saying. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Psalm 4, and verses 5 to 8. Psalms 4, verses 5 to 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will shew us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
And here we find, because they were following God's edicts and God's word, their wine was increased. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Psalm 104, verses 10 to 15. Psalm 104, verses 10 to 15. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
He sent us the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They gave drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quenched their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart.
And do you notice something here? It says, the wine maketh glad. It makes glad. Amen. And our last scripture context of the day is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth.
And here we find that God gives increase of wine when the people are doing good and following his commandments. So basically, what we learn tonight, As we just said, when you're following God's commandments, he gives increase of wine. Wine also makes happy or merry. And we also found several different people that drank, not to get drunken, but they did, in fact, drink. Amen. All right, but now I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you think it's okay to use alcohol or strong drink, such as whiskey, etc., for colds, etc.? Do you think it's okay to use alcohol, whiskey, etc., for colds, etc.? Amen. But right now we're going to pause to hear a few messages and some station ID and so forth, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement. Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Food is ready. Can't wait. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us, and then it shall fall away. Having war and desolation, they shall rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
us and it's a still small voice. Do you ever get blue or down in the mouth? Have you ever had that weary, depressed feeling sweep over you in such a manner that it chilled all your good intentions? That you said, oh, what's the use? And yet, you know you're born again. You believe you're a child of God. Well, listen, I've got news, good news for you. Please read very slowly the following two verses of Scripture. Here's the text. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rend the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:11-12, KJV. You see, God, who knows the end before the beginning, saw that we, his servants, are after going a toilsome work for him, meant get into just such a state of mind as Elijah did. So God had an antidote recorded and placed in the Bible that, taken according to directions, will permanently cure the blues, whether they be of the Monday type or otherwise. The idea of a born-again person living today on a mountain peak of hilarious joy, tomorrow sinking down deep into the valley of despair, is contrary to all Bible teaching, which will live above the aggravating situations of life, regardless of what they might be. Born-again person is edged in Job 1:10 and accompanied continually with watchful care and powerful sustenance by the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. It's actually God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Scripture, Jesus answered and said unto him, the man loved me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come into him and make our whole abode with him. John 14:23. The Holy Spirit in us represents the divine Trinity, and this is still small voice. This is not philosophical nonsense that I'm telling you, but rather concrete, stable, biblical facts recorded for our enlightenment and benefit. So cheer up. Don't allow yourself to get in the dumps. Christ said to his disciples, by way of giving them last-minute instructions before he sent them out on evangelistic tour, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10:16, KJV. The born again are Christ's disciples, the sheep of his pasture, the wolves of the world, the flesh, and the devil. These three are your attackers. The instruction Christ gave us disciples also included this. Now here's your scripture. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, but shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, the still small voice, which speaketh in you. Matthew 10:19-20. The same Spirit of God, the small still voice, has been with godly men ever since God formed our forefather Adam out of clay and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Scripture, my spirit, the still small voice, shall always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3 in your KJV Bible. To the men of Old Testament times, the still small voice came as the word of God or by an angel or through a prophet, a priest, a king, or even an animal, as in the case of Balaam and his gentle donkey. But in these New Testament times, during the church age, the still small voice speaks continually and directly to each individual from within. Scripture, then the Spirit, the still small voice, said to Philip, go. Acts 8:29. Scripture, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, the still small voice, said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Acts 10:19. This is a still small voice, the source of all power which dwells in you today. Therefore, why should you stumble, totter, and fall into the slough of despond? You have a built-in spiritual computer directly your every footprint, the indwelling Holy Spirit, you're constantly in touch with God. Because of Israel's sin, Elijah received instructions through the still small voice to pray and declare, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. 1 Kings 17:1. Apostle James is careful to remind us that, here's your scripture, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months.
James 5:17 in your KJV Bible. Therefore, the still small voice can use, guide, and direct us in the doing of big things or little things here and now, just as he did Elijah. Please remember, everything we do for God is big and important if it is for God's honor and glory. The born-again person need not fear for his life while in the service of the Master. The still small voice always provides a way of escape or will give dying grace. Because of the continued drought caused by Elijah's prayer, Ahab, king of Israel, sought to take Elijah's life. It was the still small voice that commanded an angel to come down from heaven and shut the mouths of the lions in the den into which Daniel was thrown, Daniel 6. It was the still small voice which commanded an angel to release Peter from the dungeon in which he lay shackled to soldiers on his right and his left. It was a still small voice which was about to provide Elijah with protection from the wrath of the king. The voice ordered him to go out into the wilderness, saying, Scripture, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is beyond before Jordan. 1 Kings 17:3 KJV. It was a still small voice which gave Elijah the comforting assurance of providential care by telling him before he left to go to the brook Cherith, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. We read almost cheerfully and gladly that he, Elijah, went and did according unto the word of the Lord, directed by the still small voice, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. And the ravens brought him bread and fish, flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. 1 Kings 17:5 through 6. You see, the still small voice has all power, all knowledge, and all wisdom. This is a still small voice that is within us today. That voice doesn't change. Scripture, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. John 14:16. Well, why should we worry? Why should we be up on the mountain peak one day and down the valley of despair the next? Why should we not produce continually the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. It's Galatians 5:22 and 23. There's no limit of the amount of these fruits you are allowed to produce. Christian life should be lived on a level plane of success. How very comforting for born-again people to know positively that still small voice is concerned and watchful regarding our well-being, providing, of course, that we are in the positive will of God. The still small voice protected Elijah from the wrath of the king for 3.5 years, during which time there was no rain. The still small voice, having all wisdom, knew where there was a brook, which would continue to flow for 18 months after the drought began. That's why the still small voice sent Elijah to Cherith. That's where the swift-running brook was located. However, after 18 months, the hurrying brook dried up. But the still small voice knew that at Zarephath, there was a deep spring well that would more than outlast the 2 years, the balance of the extensive drought. So he sent Elijah there, and through the Spirit's miraculous power, caused the meal barrel and the oil cruse belonging to a godly widow to remain full, and regardless of how much they took out. 1 Kings 17, 8-16, and please read this. The still small voice is exactly the same today. He never changes. Our relationship with him, if we are born again, is just the same as Elijah's. Our meal barrel and cruse of oil will also remain full. For 3.5 years, Elijah had been idle. But nevertheless, he was in the will of God. He was exactly where the still small voice wanted him, first at Cherith for 18 months and then at Zarephath for 2 years. Some Christian people are under the impression that because they are not active in some particular work, they're not serving God. There are many ways of rendering service. Perhaps the still small voice wants you in some out-of-the-way place because he has a widow he desires to bless by keeping her meal barrel full. Elijah was God's reason for keeping an abundant supply of meal and oil in the widow's kitchen. All times we must keep ourselves tuned in with positive connections, having no will of our own in the matter, ready to obey instantly the still small voice. We know not the hour or the moment when he will speak, giving us important directions regarding some specific job God wants us to do. Please remember, we are servants of God and servants are workers. Scripture, and it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord, the still small voice, came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, shew thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. 1 Kings 18:1. The voice of the Spirit came almost unexpectedly, but Elijah was ready. We are to be instant in season, out of season. 2 Timothy 4:2. He went to see King Ahab. He was tuned to the still small voice. He had his spiritual radio on. Elijah was unafraid, standing there in the presence of the king, even though the king had sought to take his life because of the great drought. And guided by the still small voice, Elijah said, "Gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." 1 Kings 18:19 in your KJV Bible. So Ahab gathered them accordingly, at which time Elijah defied the prophets of Baal in the presence of all Israel, saying, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered not a word. 1 Kings 18:21. The prophets of Jezebel agreed and beseeched their god Baal all day, but no fire came. In the evening, directed by the still small voice, Elijah had them build an altar on 12 stones on which he placed the kindling wood and the sacrificial bullock. He also had them dig a pit around the base of the altar and fill it with wheat. A burnt offering was always offered in conjunction with the dedicating of a person or persons to God. When accompanied by ears of grain, it was presented a sin offering as well. The Israelites had sinned and left God, so Elijah was offering up a burnt offering for the Israelites' rededication. To show the unequaled power of God in the presence of not only Israel and their king, but also the prophets of Baal, Elijah had been then bring up from the Mediterranean, which lies at the foot of Mount Carmel, 4 barrels of water and pour it over the altar and the wheat. While they were doing this, he ordered 4 more barrels brought up and again another 4, making 12 barrels in all. And by the guidance of a still small voice, the Holy Spirit, he prayed, saying, "Scripture, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word," the still small voice. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. 1 Kings 18:36-45. Elijah then called upon the Israelites to surround Jezebel's prophets of Baal when took down to the dry bed of the brook Kishon at the foot of Mount Carmel and slew them there. Their blood would be washed out into the Mediterranean when the brook again became filled with water. What immense bravery. What outstanding courage. One can't help feeling like he wants to shout, "Praise God for such lion-hearted, courageous servants of God as Elijah." But wait. When King Ahab came down the mountain, he met Jezebel and told her what Elijah had done to all her prophets, whereby Jezebel cursed Elijah and sent a messenger saying, "Scripture, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, her prophets." But by tomorrow about this time, that's 1 Kings 19:2 KJV. Elijah, upon hearing this, ran for his life a whole day's journey into the wilderness until at last he fell exhausted under a juniper tree. So you see, my dear listener, Elijah was on the mountaintop of magnificent work for the Lord, and then suddenly he sank down into the valley of absolute despair. He didn't have to run from Jezebel. God would have protected him. Why would God fail him at a time like this? So he ran because he was not willing to trust God. There must come a time in your life that you have to stand still and trust God. We hear him from underneath the juniper tree crying to God, saying, "Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." 1 Kings 19:4. What a tragedy. What a shameful ending to a great story. A great and magnificent servant of God performing such a wonderful work and then to flee a whole day's journey to the threat of one bad woman. It's almost unbelievable. But how many of us have done some of those things? When the going gets tough, we throw up our hands and quit. We accuse God of letting us down. Can't you remember guiding by the still small voice? You did a magnificent work for God. You worked all day in the church or all day Sunday, going to Sunday school and church, conducting street meetings, going to door-to-door visitation, holding prayer meetings in the hospital and jails, giving out tracts, then you went back to church at night, and afterwards coming home tired and weary, somebody said something which struck you the wrong way, and you flew up the handle, and you sank down into the valley of defeat. You were ready to lie down under the juniper tree in frustration. It's very comforting to know that the Holy Spirit realizes we are flesh. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Elijah lay asleep under the juniper tree. The Holy Spirit directed Elijah's guardian angel, Hebrews 1:14, to cook him a meal, and when the prophet was rested and the food was ready, he said, Elijah, arise and eat. 1 Kings 19:5. Imagine how Elijah felt when he awoke and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coal and a cruse of water at his head, and he didn't even drink and lay down him down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. 1 Kings 19, 6-7 in your KJV Bible. Elijah was not about to go on that long journey at the instigation of the still small voice. The Holy Spirit saw that Elijah was yet afraid the terrible threat made against him by the bad woman. He was still upset by the fearful threat of Jezebel. Holy Spirit had another work for Elijah to do, but he was not ready for it. He had to learn his lesson. God had something else for Elijah to do. Holy Spirit will allow him to go his own way. While Elijah is doing this, you could see how thoughtful and careful the Holy Spirit is with his tired servant. He knows exactly where Elijah is going. He knows the cave to which Elijah will flee. It's a 40-day journey from the juniper tree, almost 300 miles to the cave. Scripture, and he, Elijah, arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. 1 Kings 19:8. The valuable lesson all workers for God should learn in as working for God, we give out our virtue, spiritual strength. This is true of Christ himself. When that woman who had been sick for 12 years reached her hand through the jostling crowd to touch Jesus and was cured, Jesus said, Scripture, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Luke 8:46. This godly virtue is derived from your constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Please bear in mind, any virtue we possess must come from above. We have not one tiny source of virtue within ourselves. Because we work for God, and we do so, we get our virtue, spiritual power. Therefore, after any great work is performed in order to avoid the danger period of low spiritual weakness, we should do what Christ urged his own disciples to do, namely, Scripture. Come you there yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Mark 6:31. Those 70 disciples have been out on an evangelistic tour, preaching the gospel, casting out demons, and healing the sick. Jesus saw the low ebb to which their spirituality had fallen. That was the real trouble with Elijah. After giving out virtue in the performance of his marvelous work for God on Mount Carmel, he ran for 40 days to hide himself in a cave 300 miles away because of the threat of one bad woman. It was while in this cave at Horeb that the still small voice came to him, saying, what doest thou here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19:9, and began to offer excuses, but the spirit, the still small voice, swept them aside unnoticed and asked them to step outside the cave. The spirit realized that Elijah had forgotten the greatness of the indwelling spirit, which the still small voice represents. So the spirit made known to Elijah God's manifested presence, while at the same time he caused a mighty wind to smite Mount Horeb with such terrific force that it split the rocks in pieces from wind. God showed Elijah that particular wind did not represent his real power. Then the Spirit caused an earthquake to shake that portion of the country most violently, and again he pointed out to Elijah that even such a great manifestation of power did not in any way begin to reveal God's strength. Then after the earthquake, the Spirit caused a fierce fire to appear, telling Elijah that God was not in the fire, he was greater than the fire. Then came the still small voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, who dwells in the church, children of God, representing all the great divine power, the divine Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. At this simple presentation, Elijah was mortally ashamed of himself. You and I must know how he felt. Yes, I do. Scripture, and it was so, when Elijah heard it, the still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave, and well, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19:13, KJV. Elijah was again once more bold as a lion, ready to do and dare, so God commanded him to return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, saying, when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. 1 Kings 19:15. So with this, Elijah is forgiven, restored, strengthened, and recommissioned. But he had to go back where he left God. His 40-day flight was of no avail. He had to go back and pick up where he left God. How about you, my dear listener? Have there been many times when you ran away from the face of the enemy, and you should have stood your ground and realized that dwelling within you, your body is a temple with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all represented by the still small voice. What marvelous power within, what great power is at the back of us for every undertaking. God before you, who could be against you? Nobody. Refuse to heed the guidance, the prompting, the correction of the still small voice. We grieve him greatly. Ephesians 4:30, KJV. Remember when we were born again, at which time we were baptized by the Holy Spirit in one body, were completely enveloped on the outside and inhibited on the inside by the Spirit of God. Scripture, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but it you know him, for he dwelleth, stays with you, and shall be in you. John 14:17, KJV. The still small voice never leaves you. He may abide with you the holy born again, abide with you the born again forever. John 14:16, KJV. So if you as a born-again person and you're not receiving directives regarding some form or matter of work in the vineyard because you're doing what Paul advised you not to do, quench not the Holy Spirit, I'm sure you want to please God, don't you? Then you must do that which is in the mind of God. Who knows the mind of God but the Spirit? Scripture, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? So the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, even the still small voice. 1 Corinthians 2:11, KJV. That's why you must obey that voice if you want to be pleasing to God and have your life filled with the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. But if you'll dull your spiritual ears through selfish works and thus quench the still small voice, then even as a born-again person, there lies in front of you nothing but a long, hard road filled with unnecessary suffering. What doest thou here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19:9. I ask you, friend of mine, what are you doing? Are you under the direction of the still small voice? If not, you should be. Next lesson will be translation of the church.
All right, and we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about a still small voice. Amen. But right now we're going to turn it loose with information about the great program that you found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy, Craig. Programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. With Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
And hallelujah, we're back, and I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you think it's okay to use alcohol or strong drinks such as whiskey, etc., for colds, etc.? Do you think it's okay to use alcohol or strong drinks such as whiskey, etc., for colds, etc.? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
now has always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels, and they're doing some bowling outside. But no, I'm just kidding. And we have you, Emily, and me.
Okay. Well, tonight we're going to let Emily start us out tonight. First off, Emily, do you have any questions or comments on what we presented? All right, Em, get your coffee. Okay, it looks like she ain't got her coffee or she fell asleep on us, one. Okay, Ruth, I'll let you go ahead.
Okay, I don't really care for whiskey and honey, but that's what I was given as a child, and now I would never use it if I had children because it actually is bad. And I got a scripture here, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit is Ephesians 5:18. That's just proof right there. We don't need to do that to excess. And I had another relative who also guzzled, and I didn't approve, but I was stuck drinking it because that's just the way they did those old ways of doing those remedies, and I stuck with it.
Okay, well, Ruth, there you go. But you got to remember, okay, when you think about what you just read, it says be not drunk and excess, the two key words there, okay, for a remedy for a cold, etc., you're not getting drunk. If the person is using it only as a cold remedy, putting it with example with honey as you're talking about, and they give you only a teaspoon full or so, or even just a shot glass full, you're not likely to get drunk. So the answer to that question, in my opinion, as you came from that very scripture, and that's what I was going to come from myself, is the answer to that question biblically would be the fact that since you're not getting drunk, you're only using it for medicinal purposes.
Right,
hon. You're only using it for that. Paul told Timothy, okay, he got a prescription from Luke the physician, and he, because Timothy had some ongoing stomach troubles, and Paul got this prescription from Luke the physician to pass along to Timothy. You could think of Paul as like the pharmacy, and he says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities, infirmities being illnesses. So it was permitted as a medicinal or illness cure, but it did not say get drunk. So if we go according to scripture, there's nothing wrong with having wine or a strong drink such as whiskey if it's being used in a medicinal way where you're not getting drunk on it, but you're using it for, because alcohol used to be used many years ago as a medication. The alcohol was used as a medication, as you pointed out. But now today, they don't do it as much. What they use now today is you go to the store and you get cough syrup and it's got alcohol in it. Okay, so it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, they're still using the remedies.
Right, and some people still do, but most people, they go to the store and they get cough syrup that's specifically designed to work with coughs and colds, okay? So what I'm saying, and because it's designed with that and it's got alcohol in it, some people would say as Christians, well, we shouldn't touch that either because it's got alcohol in it. Well, no. The fact is, as long as you're not getting drunk on it.
The word excess, like that verse just said, you know, in 5:18 of Ephesians.
Right. As long as you're not getting drunk and it's not excess, because you could get drunk on a cough remedy. So, I mean, we have to understand what the scripture says. So that's our point. All right. We're going to try one more time here. Emily, are you there? Going once. Get your coffee, Em. Going twice. Going, gone. Okay.
Pray in the name of Jesus she's not in a seizure, Lord.
Yeah. Well, she probably just fell asleep or something, or sometimes she does that. All right. So what we're going to do, Ruthie, we'll let you give us a closing prayer, and then we'll close out with our Red Saline song for the night.
Well, we love you so much, Lord, and you know, you got mail. You know all the prayer requests, like Emily's housing and me and my silly fibromyalgia, and Kenny's working on different lessons, and I know you're helping him with that, so that's blessings. And I hope people got saved and got healed tonight, and we just love you and praise your name.
All right, and as we get ready to close out here with this Red Saline song, we want to invite everybody for, of course, tomorrow's open programming on Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Eastern. Then, of course, Monday night for Motivational Monday, 9 p.m. as we go into our next week's worth of programming. And then Tuesday, the Word of the King at 8 p.m. We want to invite everybody to these shows here only on the Six Eyes Radio Network, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. We'll catch you then, and we'll see you especially on Sunday, as we're going to be here for that show on Sunday, 1 p.m. God bless, and we'll catch you then.
Till my dying day, ever get my first set of wheels. I've had to drive them both night and day, trying to make enough to pay my bills. Lately I'm seeing two of everything, and I ache from my head to my toes. I took so many pills that you, when I die, they won't ever get my eyes to close. 10 days out, 2 days in, I kiss my baby and I'm gone again. My old dog bites me every time I come home. I've been on the road too doggone long. A truck driving man just can't win. 10 days out and 2 days in. I gotta keep this big rig rolling to support my wife and 8 kids. I don't know how everything happened, but I know that it did. Cause I don't see very much of my baby since I put the ring on her hand. I came home today, I heard my little boy say, well, mama, who is that man? 10 days out and 2 days in, I kiss my baby and I'm gone again. My old dog bites me every time I come home. I've been on the road too doggone long. A truck driving man just can't win. 10 days out and 2 days in. Been on the road too doggone long. A truck driving man just can't win.